Good morning. So I believe that over the last few weeks, you've been studying prayer and different aspects of prayer. Well, today we're going to be studying, or rather looking at, thankfulness, taken from the Philippians reading we heard. So before I begin, let me just quickly pray here. Lord, bless these words so that I may honour you. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul was in chains, imprisoned. Now, we don't know if he was physically in chains, manacles wrapped around his hands and feet, with little chain links clinking every time he moved from left to right, or if it was more of a metaphor, and he was in a prison cell or house arrest somehow. What we must understand was that he wasn't free to come and go as he pleased. He was under guard. That means that there is, or was, at least one person ready to restrain him should he decide to escape. Now, this is speculation, but the Romans don't seem to be the sort of people that, when you cross them, give you a slap on the wrist and tell you you've been a naughty boy. No. These guys possessed very sharp swords and very long spears. These people had perfected the art of killing other people. This is a conquering nation, a conquering army. And Paul was their prisoner. Can you imagine, just for a second if you can, what it must be like being imprisoned by people like that? Can you imagine what it must be like expecting that at some point somebody's going to open the door to your prison cell, drag you off outside, and execute you? Now, I was having great difficulty putting putting myself in that headspace. So I looked around online and I found this. This is a piece from a book by a man that was wrongly tried, an American man that was wrongly tried. And he was sentenced to be executed. And he waited around on death row for quite a long time. These are his words. Some men on death row give up their appeals. They're called the volunteers. A misnomer that suggests they want to die. In truth, they just grow tired of fighting. Their minds retreat to some dark space where death seems better than another failed appeal. Very dark, very gloomy, full of fear. And yet, when we really read Philippians, we don't see this at all, do we? It doesn't reflect this sense of hopelessness. There's no sadness here. Our reading exudes joy. It's not fake confidence. The words in front of us aren't those of a man desperately clinging to a dying hope. It's quite the opposite. Not only is there a tone of joy in this opening section that we read this morning, but this attitude of thankfulness. Now, Paul's joyful prayers are inspired by his thankfulness, and it's that thankfulness that I really want to hone in on today. But to do that, of course, we had to think about his imprisonment so we could see where his sense of joy was coming from. So Paul's thankfulness is expressed in three main ways. Firstly, in verses 3 and 4, in remembrance. He's remembering the church that he's left in Philippi. And when I say church, I mean in its truest sense. He's thinking about the people. You know, this is the church that he and Silas planted on the second journey. Paul is very much a people person. In his other letters, he greets his individuals by name. In Romans 16, he concludes his letter with greetings to 33 people. People mean a great deal to him, and he's very thankful for them. And this is reflected in his prayers back to God. As we also see from these two verses, Paul is remembering these people and thanking God for them. He's praying for them at the same time as he's remembering them. Now, he's not praying out of fear, what may happen to them, nor is he praying out of a sense of duty. He is praying with a genuine sense of joy that flows out of remembering them. Now, a survey conducted in 2014, people were asked what they most often prayed for. And right at the top of that list, the most often prayed for thing was family and friends, 82%, which rates above personal problems and difficulties. And the third most thought of thing, sort of way down that list there, 54% people thanking God for good things that have occurred. So statistically speaking, we pray for our family and friends more often than we pray for ourselves, but according to the statistics, we pray from a place of love. We pray from a place of duty, but we tend not to pray from a place of thankfulness. For example, our prayers may sound something like, "Dear God, please help Uncle Bob, who is in hospital at the moment." Rather than, "Dear God, thank you that Uncle Bob is in hospital where he can receive proper medical treatment." It puts a very different emphasis on our prayer when we remember people that we pray for with thankfulness. All of a sudden, we found ourselves counting our blessings, which automatically reveals to us the glory of God and brings us to a place of joy. Now, the second way that Paul expresses thankfulness in prayer is in fellowship. And we can pick that up in verse 5. "Because of your partnership in the gospel," he says. And this is pretty interesting. The way that Christian fellowship works means that Christ must be part of that relationship. So for Paul, he remained in contact with the church in Philippi because of their joint acceptance of salvation through Jesus Christ. It's a three-way bond of fellowship. The reason why Paul is thankful is that the church in Philippi shared the same bond of fellowship with him, just as Christ shared the same bond of fellowship with them. The church suffers on behalf of each other, just as Christ suffered on behalf of the church and everybody else. Paul understands that love of both Christ and the church that they have supporting him. Christ is Paul's saviour, and the church lists prayers for Paul's well-being. This, of course, is a good thing and leads Paul to a place of joy. I guess a modern example of this would be that I've never been to China. I don't know any Chinese people. I don't speak Chinese. Yet I pray for the church in China as it struggles under the authority of its government. Just as the church in China prays that the West doesn't abandon Christ. Now, we don't know each other personally, but we can be in fellowship with each other through Christ. I recognise these men and women are my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a joyful relationship, a joyful union. Now, the third way that Paul expresses thankfulness in prayer is in confidence. Now, starting at verse 6, we can see that Paul reminds the Philippians that he is confident that God has started a good work in them and will continue to do so until that work is completed. In this wonderful statement, there's a closeness with glorifying God as well as with thankfulness. See, when we glorify God, we look at God and see how wonderful he is. It's marvelling at his creation. It's marvelling at his love and being in awe of his greatness. Glorifying God is a response of looking at God and saying, "Wow, you are almighty." Now, thanking God is kind of like looking at ourselves and our loved ones and the world and the environment around us and seeing where God has been and is working and being grateful for that and being moved to want to say, "Thank you. I realise that it's by your hands these things are happening. And I'm grateful for that. I am thankful for that. So, for example, when we pray before or after a meal, we can glorify God by recognising that there's nobody worthy of our praises than God, that God alone deserves our prayer. However, we can thank him for the food in front of us because he's understood our hunger and allowed us to be in a position where we can eat a meal. Paul is thankful that he can place his confidence in the goodness of God. He's glorifying God in so much that he understands that God is in control of the plans that he has made, but he's thankful that the church are included in those plans. It's another model of thankfulness that we can incorporate into our own prayer lives. And from this, of course, exudes joy. Now, as I've been talking about these 3 points, remembrance, fellowship, confidence, I've been very positive in what I'm saying. I mean, I think that thinking with a positive attitude leads to positive outcomes. However, there is a note of caution here. And I struggle to put it in words, so I'm borrowing from Billy Graham as I pass this on to you. Ingratitude is a sin, just as surely as lying or stealing or immorality or any other sin condemned by the Bible. One of the Bible's indictments against rebellious humanity is that although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. That's Romans 1:21. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold towards God and indifferent to his mercy and love. I'm going to read that again. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold towards God and indifferent to his mercy and love. It is a heart that's forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. And that's Billy Graham. Now, when I was very small and protesting that the world wasn't fair and I couldn't get my way and everything's rubbish, etc., my grandmother used to be very quick to remind me, "Chris, count your blessings." You ever heard this? Count your blessings. And I did, used to stop and think, "Oh, okay. So I have got this, I have got that, I am well, this is right." But all of a sudden, all the injustices that you thought you had sort of fade away into the background as you realise how much you do actually have, how blessed you actually are. We have a loving God who sent his son to die and save us from our sins. And we are fortunate enough to know that. That's something we can be very thankful in. We are fortunate enough to be able to declare that publicly. Very unlike Paul 2,000 years ago, and unlike far too many countries in the world at this present day. We in this room live in a society of abundance that no generation before us has ever experienced. And for that we can be truly thankful. So the encouragement towards us this morning is to be like the 10th leper in the gospel reading. Not just to accept the gifts and to run off happy, but to turn around and look at Christ and say, "Thank you. I understand that you're working in my life. Thank you." And I believe that this is the word for today. Amen.